Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Vitagliano for AFA at the Ark, a special trip to Answers in Genesis Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, October 31st through November 2nd. You'll tour the exhibits like you would expect, but that's just the beginning. Deepen your knowledge with presentations from special speakers and a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Head to afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events. Click AFA at the Ark.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here, and I hope you're having a wonderful Friday morning. I wanted to tell you about a story I had in my life some years ago, a number of years ago, when I was a college student. I was a freshman at the University of Texas in Austin, and I had to do the dreaded task of laundry. Now, every college student knows you hold off on that until you just can't hold off anymore, until you have nothing to wear. And so I walked down a few blocks to the laundromat from my dormitory, and I was with a friend, Bart. And we were doing laundry, and you know, that takes time. You have to just sit there and wait. You wait for their clothes to wash, and then you wait for them to dry. And so you typically, as a college student, you're bringing notes there so you can study for classes. Well, Bart and I got to talking, and I asked him the question that I had learned in Evangelism Explosion. And I said, Bart, I said, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And he said to me, he said, no, I haven't, and neither have you. He said, nobody can know if he's going to heaven when he dies. That's not something that is knowable. You don't find out that until you die. And immediately my mind went to 1 John chapter 5, where the Apostle John says this, beginning in verse 12, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. Eternal life is not something God wants you to be fuzzy about. God doesn't want you to go through life saying, well, I don't really know if I'm a Christian or not. I don't know if I'm the Lord's sheep or not. I don't know if I belong to him or not. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. That would be opposite of what the Lord says in his word. We can know that we belong to him. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells the Corinthians they need to test themselves to see if they are in the faith, to examine themselves. And, you know, I think it was Adrian Rogers, I ran across this years and years ago. He said there are four types of people in the world. We can put them all into four categories when it comes to this thing called eternal life, called salvation. The first category is the person who is not saved, and he knows he's not saved. He knows he's never put his faith and trust in Jesus. So that's the first category. Second category is a person who's not saved, but he thinks he is saved. It's a dangerous place to be when you're not saved, but you think you're okay. The third category is a person who is truly saved, been born again, but they're doubting. They don't know for sure if they really belong to the Lord. They live bent over like a question mark instead of straight up like an exclamation point. So that's a person who is saved, but he doubts. He doesn't know if he's truly saved or not. And the fourth category of persons is this: the person who is truly saved, and he knows, she knows she's saved, and he or she knows that you can never lose it. You know, salvation, eternal life, lasts for all eternity. And John chapter 5, verse 23, the Lord says, verse 24, the Lord says this, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, right now, has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now, to think about eternal life, it's not something that God gives you when you die. It's something that God gives you when you believe. So the one who hears the word and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul told the Philippian jailer when he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your house, if they also believe." So truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has right now, present tense, eternal life and doesn't come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Goes along with Colossians chapter 1. It says, he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The moment you believe in Jesus, you're made a new creation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that famous verse, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." You're born again. You're taken out of that domain of darkness, and you're transferred into the kingdom of God's Son, and you have eternal life right now, present tense. Now, something to consider. For those who believe you can lose your salvation, if you could lose your salvation, then you never had eternal life, because eternal life lasts forever. That's what eternal means. It's forever life. And so if you could be a Christian and then not a Christian and lose your salvation after 5 years, then what did you have? You had 5-year life. If you could lose it after 10 years, what did you have? 10-year life. If you could lose it after 20 years, what'd you have? 20-year life. Whatever you have, if you can lose it, you didn't have eternal life, because eternal life can never be lost, because eternal life lasts forever. And so the fourth category of person is the person who's saved and knows that he is saved and knows that he can never lose salvation, because once you're born into God's family, you are his forever. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to come and be with us and be in us and be in us forever. Now, getting back to the test in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul challenged the Corinthians, "Test yourself to see if you are in the faith." Hey, maybe you're listening and you are not saved, and you know you're not saved. You know you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. Well, what do you do about that? Well, we're going to talk about that. What do you do if you're not saved and you think you are? Well, he's talking to some of the Corinthians here. He says, you need to test yourself. You need to make sure. You don't want to live under the deception of, "Well, I think I'm good," when you're not good. You don't want to find out when you die that you weren't good and hear the Lord say, and you say, "Lord, Lord, did I not go to church all the time? I taught Sunday school. I sang in the choir. I did this. I did that. I did the other." And hear him say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So I want us to test ourselves today. I'm entitling this program, The Test of Salvation. The Test of Salvation. First test. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. First test is the Savior test. And here's the question. Who are you trusting in for salvation? Or what are you trusting in for salvation? You know, if you ask the average person the question, it's one of the evangelism explosion questions. You know, the first question was, "Hey, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven?" Well, you ask that to the average person at the mall or in the neighborhood or whatever, and they're like, "Well, I don't know if I've come for certain. I think so. I'm kind of hope so. I guess so." Well, here's the follow-up question. Suppose you were to die and you were to stand before God, and he were to say to you, "Why should I let you in to heaven?" What would you say? And that's a great question, because that determines, that question shows a person what they're trusting in. What is their hope of heaven? And the typical answer you get from somebody who is very fuzzy, doesn't really understand salvation, it's always going to be a works answer. Why should the Lord let me into heaven? They start thinking, well, let me see. I was good to my mother, and I provided for my family, and I never stole anything from the company, and it didn't commit murder. And they start going through this litany of good works and things like that. Well, if your answer immediately goes into all the good works and all the reasons the Lord should let you into heaven because you're such a good guy, such a good lady, then that just shows you're trusting in works to get you to heaven. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How does a person get to heaven? The Savior test. Who's your Savior? Is your Savior the Lord Jesus Christ, or is your Savior yourself? Are you trusting in yourself for salvation? Yeah, there's none good, not even one. There's none righteous. And all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And we're all sinners, and we can't save ourselves. And we don't have anything to commend ourselves to God and say, God, look how good I am. You know, when it comes to good works, people get confused about good works. And they say, well, you know, are works not important? Are doing good things not important? They are important in the Christian life. I mean, did Jesus not say, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven? Yes, he said that. But remember this, good works are not the root of salvation. They're the fruit of salvation. What does that mean? It means good works don't produce salvation. Salvation produces good works. You know, how do you know a tree is an apple tree? It's very simple. You start seeing apples grow on it. You know, if you tell me you have an apple tree in your backyard and you've had it for 5 years and it hasn't ever produced one apple, then I would tell you, I don't think you have an apple tree. Because if you have an apple tree, the evidence that it's an apple tree is you get apples. And if you take apples and you tie them on the branches of a tree, that doesn't make it an apple tree. And so good works are not the root of salvation. They're the fruit of salvation. And when you have genuine salvation, you will produce good fruit, good works. And that's why the scripture says in Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, when you're trusting in Jesus alone, for by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then you have genuine salvation, and then your life will start to produce fruit, because at that point you become a real apple tree, and a real apple tree, the evidence that you're a real apple tree is good works. So if the Lord should say to you, why should I let you into my heaven when you die? What is the correct answer? Lord, in my hand no price I bring, but simply to your cross I cling. There's no reason for you to let me into heaven in and of myself. The only reason that I can claim entrance into heaven is because I've put my faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. And I believe he died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I believe, Father, that your Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And I've put my faith and trust in him and him alone. That's the answer that gets you into heaven. So there is the Savior test. Hey, examine yourself, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. So how do you do on the Savior test? Test number two, the sin test. What is your attitude toward sin? You want to know if you're really saved? Well, when you're saved and you're truly saved, your attitude towards sin totally changes. So what do I mean by that? When you're a non-Christian, you love sin. Sin is such a, you love to participate in sin. It's part of your nature, your fallen nature. And just like a sow loves to roll around in the mud. Well, when you're changed, when you're saved, God doesn't fix it so you can't sin anymore, but he fixes it so you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. And all of a sudden, your attitude towards sin changes. And you say, I don't want to do that anymore. That is displeasing to God. And my attitude towards sin is way different than it was before. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the test of salvation. Do you know for sure that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Examine yourself, test yourself to see whether you be in the faith. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Let me encourage you about the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. You know, in our world today, it seems that everything is set on fire by the kingdom of darkness. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 5. But it's time to take a stand. It's past time to take a stand. And American Family Radio invites your family to join the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. Now, what is this? We're inviting young people between the ages of 7 to 17 to write and present a 3 to 5 minute speech on the topic, Why Are the Ten Commandments Important? Participants may receive assistance from a parent or sibling to write, record, and submit the speech using a cell phone or any other means that will work to record the speech. You can upload it. Just go to afr.net/10commandments, afr.net/10commandments. Speeches must be submitted by June 30th, and all participants will receive a 10 Commandments t-shirt, a bookmark, and a coupon code to use in the AFA Resource Center. I had mentioned earlier this week that I had done a sermon series on the Ten Commandments about a year ago, and it was really well received, and it helped me. Obviously, I was very familiar with the Ten Commandments, but I couldn't regurgitate the Ten Commandments in order, and I learned how to do that. And if you go online, you can find a nice little way to do it with your 10 fingers, and easy to remember. And so we produced that in our children's ministry, and it was helpful for the adults, and we all learned the Ten Commandments on our fingers. And so I encourage you parents and students to get involved, ages 7 to 17, to get involved in the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. Now, we're talking on Real Truth today, the test of salvation. You know, it's horrible to live your life thinking you're a Christian and you're not, or being a Christian, but doubting, constantly doubting. And I think in every church, you have people that have those doubts. Am I really saved? I don't know. Oh, I'm so afraid because maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe I'm not going to go to heaven when I die. Well, I don't want you to be like that. And God doesn't want you to be like that. God wants you to know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again, that you're a child of God. And so 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So it's good, if you're doubting, to test yourself and to examine yourself and to go back to the scripture to see, what does the Bible say? How can I know for sure if I belong to Jesus? Well, we said earlier, the Savior test. Who am I trusting in? What am I trusting in for salvation? Am I trusting in Jesus alone, or I'm trusting in my good works to get me to heaven? Good works don't get anybody to heaven, only Jesus. And it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that produces salvation. So we said there's the Savior test. And secondly, there's the sin test, your attitude towards sin. This is what happens. When you become a child of God, your attitude towards sin is totally different. Because the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is holy, and the Holy Spirit hates sin, and so you're going to really feel the sting of sin. He is your resident guide, the helper who comes to live inside you, the one called alongside, the paraclete called alongside to render aid. Well, if you sin, he's going to convict your heart of sin. And he is going to be grieved when you sin, and you're going to sense a different attitude toward sin. And if you don't sense a different attitude toward sin, if you love to sin just like you did before you supposedly became a Christian, newsflash, you're probably not a Christian, because when the Holy Spirit comes in, your life cannot stay the same. As Paul said, what, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. So the Savior test, the sin test, how about the sanctification test? Do you have a desire in your heart to obey God? Doesn't mean you do it perfectly, but it means that you want to. You have a desire to walk with God. You have a desire to please God. That's important. And if you don't have that, then it's quite possible that you've never truly been saved, because when we're saved, the Lord gives us a desire to please him, a desire to want to read the Bible, a desire to want to talk to him and walk in his ways. Nobody does it perfectly, but we desire to do it. And I like what John MacArthur says. He said, you know, God is not so concerned about the perfection of your life, because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, John MacArthur's not perfect, nobody's perfect, but he's very concerned about the direction of your life. As John says, that if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the Savior test, the sin test, the sanctification test. Fourthly, the Spirit test. Do you have that internal witness of the Holy Spirit? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, do you have that? And that kind of goes back to the sin test. They're connected, because when you sin, you will feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. And so the Spirit will say, you belong to me. You can't do that anymore. Now, I still remember when I was a young believer. I had just been a Christian 4 weeks, and I was tempted in an area of sin, and I jumped into it, and I said, yes, I'm going to do this. It was something that, you know, before my conversion would have been, you know, a no-brainer. You just do this. And I remember as I was confronted with this temptation, hearing a voice inside that says, you can't do this anymore. And I thought, what in the world is that? And I said, well, forget it. I'm going to do it anyway. And I grieved the Holy Spirit of God. But I remember after that situation, I said, something has happened within me. I cannot be the same as I was. I can't live the same way I did before. And it was just the Holy Spirit saying, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. And there was conviction, and I felt tremendous guilt after I committed that sin, knowing that the Lord had purchased me, and I couldn't do that anymore. I could, as the song says, I can never be the same again. And I was changed by the Holy Spirit of God. And then the last test is the sibling test. So they all start with S, obviously. So you have the Savior test, you have the sin test, you have the sanctification test. Do you desire to walk in the Lord's ways and walk in the light as he himself is in the light? The Spirit test, does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? And the sibling test, do you desire to be with the people of God? You know, I was listening to a clip the other day from Adrian Rogers, and he was talking about going to church. And he said, well, people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And he said, well, that's true. But listen, if you don't ever want to go to church, probably an indicator that you're not a Christian. Because you have a desire as a Christian to be with other Christians. You want to be with the people of God. Now, here's a test that John gives in 1 John 3:14. He said, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. The sibling test, you love other believers. You have a connection with other believers because fellowship, what is fellowship? Somebody jokingly said, it's two fellows in one ship. Well, that's an easy way to remember fellowship. But fellowship is not two guys sharing the same ship. It's two people sharing the same life. And when I'm around another believer, he has life in Jesus. I have life in Jesus. We share the same life. And so there is a connection there. There's a family connection because we're both part of the family of God. And when you're part of the family of God, you like to be with the family. You like to get together with other believers. You want to go to church. You want to worship the Lord together. You want to sing the praises. You want to hear the word preached. And you want to be in the presence of other Christians. If that's not a desire for you, that's a good indicator that maybe you've never been saved. And furthermore, if that's not a desire for you, why in the world would you want to go to heaven? Because heaven is God's family. And if you say, well, I don't like God's family here on earth, why do you think you'd like God's family in heaven for all eternity? You wouldn't. And the reason you wouldn't is because you've never been saved. You've never been changed on the inside. Now, lots of people have religion. Religion is way different than salvation. Religion is cleaning yourself up on the outside to try and make yourself respectable, presentable to God. Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's all rottenness. It's dead bones. You've never, and salvation is not cleaning up the outside to make ourselves presentable to God. Salvation is realizing I'm a sinner. And I'm lost, and I can't save myself, and I deserve the fires of hell for my sins. It's the thief on the cross when he said to his fellow thief on the other side of Jesus, do you not fear God? We're dying here, and we deserve what we are getting because of what we did, but this man has done nothing wrong. We're sinful. He's holy. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was his way of putting his faith and trust in Jesus. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to that man, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. And isn't it awesome that one of the last acts that Jesus ever did as he was dying on the cross was the personal salvation of the thief on his right or left. We're not sure which side. But it was kind of interesting when you think about the three crosses. You have Jesus in the middle dying for sin. You have the repentant thief dying free from sin. You have the unrepentant thief dying in sin. So Jesus dying for the sin of the whole world. The unrepentant thief dying in sin because he never put his faith and trust in Jesus. The repentant thief dying free from sin. And the Bible says, as in Adam all die, so as in Christ all will be made alive. And we all start out in this world in Adam. We're born in Adam. And that's why, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because if you're in Adam, you die in Adam. And when Adam sinned, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And by one man, sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And that's why we need to be born again. And Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins and rise again from the dead, to pay a price that he didn't know, a price that you and I couldn't pay. And he says that if you'll put your faith and trust in me and in me alone, that there will be no condemnation for you. You will pass out of death into life, and you can have eternal life right now, life that lasts forever, life that is abundant as we live and walk on earth, and life that is forever with God in heaven when we die. Well, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment or a testimony, I'd love to hear from you. When you share testimonies, you need to keep them relatively brief so that that we can hear from a number of people. But we've been talking about the test of salvation, and we want, and God wants this, for every person to put his or her faith and trust in Jesus to be genuinely saved and know it. And don't live like a doubting Christian, but live like a shouting Christian. Don't live hunched over like a big question mark, but live straight up like a big exclamation point to know that you're saved and know that you can never lose it. The Lord, as Ron Dunn used to say, my heart is not a hotel with checkout time at 12 noon. The Lord comes in, and he comes in forever. And Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And so we can know, as that song from Cain, the musical group Cain, I love this, says, on my best day, I'm a child of God, and on my worst day, I'm a child of God. Because the Lord doesn't look at my life and say, well, you're doing terrible today. I'm out. I'm done. I'm through with you. Listen, good works don't produce salvation, and bad works don't forfeit salvation, because works are not a part of salvation. It's by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, I think we struggle in the Christian life when we run into sin, when we have some kind of temptation that seems to be eating our lunch. The sin, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, the sin which so easily entangles us, that besetting sin, as it says in the King James. When we run into that, then we start to doubt, well, maybe I'm not really saved because this sin keeps tripping me up. Listen, you're not saved by good works. You don't forfeit your salvation by bad works. The fact that you are struggling with sin, the fact that you are grieving over your sin, is evidence that you really belong to Jesus. And so surely God doesn't want us to live in defeat. He wants us to live in victory, but he doesn't want us to live in doubt. He wants us to live in confidence in the Word of God. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we're talking about the salvation test. How do you know for sure that you're saved? Give me a call. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about the test of salvation. As Paul said to the Corinthians, test yourself, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And we have lots of people in our world today who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, but they have a lot of doubts. And then we have other people who think they're saved, but they're not really saved. They're really trusting in themselves to get them to heaven. And that's not solid ground. And so we need to be on solid biblical ground to know that we're saved and to know that we can never lose that, and to be solid to know that, hey, on my best day, I'm a child of God, and on my worst day, I'm a child of God, because it's not on the basis of works. It's on the basis of grace through faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I would love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, go ahead and give me a call. And we have Margaret on the line from Texas. Margaret, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, good morning. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you, Margaret.
So I just wanted to say how, especially this test, 2 weeks ago, I was talking to my fiance regarding if we discussed if I felt like I was saved, and I couldn't answer because in a way I was telling myself, well, I believe in God, and everything you said about the test was my answer was yes, but because I didn't want to feel prideful or feel like a Pharisee, because that's the least that I want, I couldn't certainly say, oh yes, I'm definitely saved, whereas he could say, well, I'm saved. And I do believe he is the fourth personality type. It's just I was stuck in the third. Uh-huh. And I think this test really helped me feel more affirmed in my salvation.
Well, super. That's important. So yeah, as it says in 1 John, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. And he said, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And God wants us to know and be so solid on that. And I do think, you know, Margaret, as I said, when we start to struggle as Christians, when we struggle with a sin that just seems to eat our lunch, whether it's lust or worry or fear or jealousy or bitterness or whatever it might be, that's when the devil really moves in. And he tries to get us to doubt. Well, maybe this isn't real for you. Maybe you're struggling because you've never truly been saved. And living with that doubt is awful, because it's like trying to drive with the foot on the brake. You know, it's just you're not making any progress. So I'm very glad to hear that this was a help to you. When are you guys planning to get married?
We're thinking June 14 of next year.
Okay. Good. How long have you been dating?
It's been 2 years.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Well, I wish you all the best. And anything else I might be able to help you with?
No, just thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you, and God bless you. Well, we have Lori on the line from Iowa. Lori, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I have a question. I was raised Catholic and, of course, never really heard the gospel message.
Right.
My kids and I, they're adults. We all got saved at the same time, and I believe that my sons were saved. However, I don't understand the predestination thing. So if two of them are not walking with the Lord, one is. So does that mean that they were never saved? Does God only pick certain people to be saved, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Right. Yeah, good question. I don't believe that. There are some people that believe that. The Bible does teach predestination, and but this is how it works. When the Bible talks about predestination, it links it with foreknowledge. And so I'll give you an example. So Romans 8 says, for whom he foreknew, this is verse 29, Romans chapter 8, for whom he foreknew, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world, because God knew before he ever created anybody that he would have to come and die for the sins of the world. And so Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the world. Before God ever made you or me, Laura, he knew that what we would do. He knew everything, every decision we'd ever make. And so for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So now this is controversial, because not everybody sees it as this way, but this is the way I think it works. And so God, who John 3:16, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for everyone's sins. And God knows who will respond to him and who won't. He doesn't make them respond or not respond. He invites them to respond, but he knows before he ever creates us what we're going to do, because he knows everything. He's God, and he knows the end from the beginning. So based on his foreknowledge, for instance, you and me, he knew that there was going to come a time. I grew up Catholic myself. He knew that there was going to come a time where you would hear the gospel and we would respond to the gospel. And in his foreknowledge, he predestined us based on that foreknowledge. He didn't make us choose. He just knew that we were going to choose. And so we're predestined because of his foreknowledge. Now, I have good friends that are Calvinists, and they wouldn't agree with that. But that's how I think those work together, because every honest Bible student has to say, okay, the Bible says that we are condemned when we fail to believe in Jesus, when we neglect him or reject him. That's the you did not put your faith and trust in Jesus. Well, that's why a person goes to hell. It's not because you murdered somebody or you did this or you did that. The sin of all sins is the sin of unbelief. So we know that. Well, that's on us. If I don't put my faith and trust in Jesus, that's on me. But the Bible also says that we're predestined before the foundation of the world. So it's like, okay, and God is sovereign and God chooses. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And so it's like, how do those things reconcile? Well, they reconcile in the mind and heart of God. And so one way to remember this too, and John MacArthur brings this up, I think it's a great argument. He said, you know, those things work together in the Christian life. He said, think about this. Who wrote the book of Romans? And you say, well, okay, Paul wrote the book of Romans. He said, well, all scripture is inspired by God. It's literally God breathed. So God wrote the book of Romans. Well, wait a minute. God wrote the book of Romans through Paul. And so both are involved there. Who lives your Christian life? You say, well, the Holy Spirit lives my Christian life. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't live your Christian life by himself, because then you would never sin. So the Holy Spirit lives your Christian life through you, and both are involved. And so in salvation, obviously, we can't save ourselves, and the Lord has to open our eyes to truth, but we do respond to him. And if we respond, we're saved, and he knew that we were going to do that before we ever do it. If we don't respond, we're lost. And so I think with your children, Laurie, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to tell. Now, if a person is saying, oh, I don't believe that, and living a life that's just horrible, it's hard to think that that person was ever saved. But, you know, even in the Christian life, we can have times where we're not looking very Christian. Lot in the Old Testament, Abraham's nephew, he sure didn't look very Christian when he moved towards Sodom and ended up living in Sodom, the city of sin. But the Bible calls him a righteous man in 2 Peter chapter 2. And the big thing would be in that instance is, even as a Christian, we can do some terrible things as a Christian, but you're going to feel it. You're going to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said Lot, while living among the people of Sodom, felt his righteous soul tormented by their lawless deeds. And he had hell on earth living there because it was so wicked. And he was subject to all that. So I hope that's helpful.
It is very helpful. I just wondering if you and your audience could keep my great-grandson in prayer. His mom abandoned him 2 years ago. And right now he's between me and his bio dad. They weren't married, but they're atheists. And keep asking him, what, because I sent him to a Christian school where I teach. And he's told me the other day, he said, well, his dad's girlfriend said, well, how do you know there is a God? He's 10. How do you have a child that's 10 spar with the grown-ups?
Right.
He's
right.
already been abandoned. He's very fearful of, you know, I can't leave him. I can't say, oh, go look at your books at the library and I'll look at mine. He will not leave my side, which I know is odd for a 10-year-old, but he's, you know, hasn't seen or heard from his mom for 2 years. How do I help him? Because he said, I don't, maybe God doesn't exist because my mom's not back. And I pray for her all the time. And I don't know how to, I know that's off the subject, but
Well, yeah, we'll pray for him. And I would just keep affirming him, just saying, you know, God knows, he knows what's going on in your life, and he does have a plan for this. And maybe help him through, like, through Joseph, the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, that he had had, you know, his brothers rejected him, and he was on his own, but the Lord was with him. And it says repeatedly in Genesis, beginning in chapter 37 is his story, that the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. And I would just remind him that the Lord will be with you. You can trust the Lord. And even when you don't see him, and even when you don't feel him, he is there. And, you know, it's obvious that God exists. You just look out at creation and say, well, if there's a creation, there has to be a creator. Nothing ever gets, you know, you look at a watch, you look at a clock, and it's like, well, how did that come about? Somebody had to put that together. Every creation has a creator. And so it's ludicrous to think that there is no God. So I would just keep building him up, keep affirming him, keep letting him know that God loves him and God has a plan for him and that he can trust God. And Jesus truly is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But we'll be praying for him, Laurie. Thank you for calling in today. And God bless you. We have Molly on the line from Michigan. Molly, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give you a call, and I'm a little choked up after that last story with that lady.
Yeah.
But, I wanted to thank you for the test this morning. I was uplifted until I heard her story. It really touched my heart. Mm. I'm going to be praying for him, too. Anyways, I loved the part where you said that you know you're saved when you feel the Spirit telling you it's not okay to sin. Mm-hmm. And it really made me smile and confirmed everything for me.
Amen.
So, anyways, that's really it. Thank you so much for everything that you do, and you have a great weekend. God bless.
Thank you, Molly. So sweet. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, we have Kay on the line from Mississippi. Kay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Sir, thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I appreciate all that you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Real quick, a quick question. What about those fellow believers that we sit in church with, and they call themselves, you know, believers, and mind you, we might have relationship with them. How do we gently ask them, you know, are you saved? Because you're not really seeing the fruit, you know, small group discussions or, I mean, they may say the right answer, but you're just kind of looking, you know, another everyday life and just think, I don't see that.
Right.
How do we gently ask or confront someone in that, you know, that we love and want them to be secure and want them to share their story, because their story is God's story if they're saved.
Yeah, great question, Kay. I think that evangelism explosion question is a good one. You know, suppose you were to die and you stand before God, he would say to you, why should I let you into heaven? Because that really pinpoints what a person is trusting in to get to heaven. And sometimes a Christian, a genuine born-again Christian can kind of flub that question, flub the answer to that and say, oh, I don't know. But as you probe more in that, you know, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Are you trusting in being a good person? You're trusting in church membership? Are you trusting in your baptism? Because none of those things, those are all works. What we trust in is Jesus and Jesus alone. And so if that person is not, they will typically go to, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. I do this. I do that. And then you can just gently say to them, you know, it's really just all based on grace and the cross, and that's what changes a person's life. Do you think you've ever really surrendered to that? And you're not being accusatory or judgmental. You're just saying, hey, this has totally changed my life, and I want it to change your life too. And, you know, maybe I don't sense that, and I want to. So, I wish you all the best in that, Kay, and thank you for calling in. Ron, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And maybe you want to share this broadcast, this podcast with a friend who is struggling with doubts. You can go to AFR.net. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.